Next up, per request of Councilman Lattiser, is bid 2023-238, Service Investigations. This is found on page 50. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Major, in your position paper that we have in our binder, page 51, you're asking to have this contract with spending authority up to $5,000 for a period of 1 year, beginning on February 1st, 2023 through January 31st, 2024. And the reason for that is the renewal costs have gone up to $335 a month. That number of $335, that number will be locked in for that entire contract period?
Yes, sir. They actually told us we squeaked by last year's bid because everybody else had already encumbered the increased price, but our bid was early for the contract year, so we kind of dodged a year.
Yes, as of November 7th, anyways, in the Munis report, you still have $9,079 in that account, including an encumbrance of $1,588. But I don't know why you're asking for $5,000, because if we do the math on this, $335 a month for 12 months is $4,020. So why are you asking for $5,000?
So the difference is to cover incidentals, which are per over and above what's included in the $335 monthly. So it's certain searches that are like an expanded search that might be a little bit more. They're not the usual searches. They're not the run-of-the-mill ones we do often, but it's for the special ones that might be a little more.
So anything of a special service or search, that is something that you would incur an additional cost for?
Yes, sir. There is a per-use add-on fee. So that's just to cover any of the differences for the year. The difference in the actual monthly rate that you're referencing in the overall bid.
Okay, good with that. Thank you, Major. I'm good with that one, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the council. Questions from members of the public on bid 2023-238. Thank you. Next is bid 2022-279, Emergency Equipment Repair for Police Vehicles. This is found on page 55. Major Sullivan.
Good evening.
I apologize, Councilman Lattiser. I'm sorry, Major.
That's all right. In this item, on page 56, like second, third paragraph down, you have to include MDT stand, docking station, keyboard, and printer system, prisoner containment system, and the shotgun rifle rack system. What is a shotgun rifle rack system? Is that where you store those particular pieces of firearms?
That's correct. Some are in the passenger compartment, and there are also some in the other parts of the vehicles.
What type of repairs would be required for them?
They have a release mechanism. So if the car is off and, say, unlocked, and the officer is standing a couple feet away from it and somebody managed to get in, they would not be able to get that device out of the holder because it's locked in. There's a way we override it, which I don't want to discuss here, but there's a...
Yes. I understand.
Yep.
So these repairs, these are not necessarily repairs that you have in the hopper right now. These are for repairs that potentially could occur over the next year?
That's correct. A good example, sir, would be the upfitting or downfitting of cars. So if a car is a line car that's fully equipped with all these articles, and then it's being repurposed to, say, the detective division, they may take a lot of this stuff out of it because it's no longer necessary for detective use at that point.
Sure. None of this $5,000 would this increase of $5,000, none of this would be used on for lighting or flashers or anything of that nature on any of the new vehicles, right?
No, there should be no reason for any of the new vehicles. New vehicles, again, are by and large, they come fully equipped with the lighting.
Okay.
It'd just be for repairs of older vehicles that maybe had a malfunction of a lighting, piece of lighting equipment that's not a warranty item.
Okay, I'm all set on that, Chairman. Thank you, Major.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. The next item requested by Councilman Lattiser is bid 2023-214, fire hose service testing. This is found on page 71. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Since you are done, Councilman, I'm just going to interrupt. Chief, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself, department and title.
Jason Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department.
Thank you. So, Chief, with the top rung inspection and testing, I'm assuming that the department's not going to have to be involved with anything in note 2 from Fire Cat, which talks about exception to specifications, hose removal, all rack fire attack and supply hoses, et cetera, et cetera. You guys don't have to do any of that stuff, right?
No.
Okay. And when you quickly look at the differences in the numbers from the travel, additional fees, mobilization, travel, and demobilization, in Waterway, they have a $375 number, flat fee, which, if you look at it on the face, versus 510 from top rung, one would assume, you know, there's a fairly good difference there. But first, I just want to clarify something in my own head. Mobilization, travel, demobilization, that would be for the vendor traveling to a particular fire department, taking out all their equipment and testing stuff and tools and whatever they do, do all their work, and then break it all down, put it back in their vehicles, and boogie on home.
Correct.
Okay. So I just want to point out for everyone that may not have seen these sheets, particularly members of the public, even with that difference from 510 to 375, top run is still a better deal because the difference in price for the testing is about $2,080. So in spite of that, it's still a good deal.
Correct. That's why you have to kind of break it down by the linear feet. A lot of them build it into that price per linear foot. They build all that mobilization, demobilization into it. And even a couple cents per linear foot makes a huge difference in price.
52,000 feet is a lot of hose.
It's a lot of hose.
Is that all the hose in the entire department or just hoses that need testing now?
That's all the hose in the entire fire department. It was all replaced in the last year or two from the federal grant. Uh-huh. So it's all brand new.
Thank you. I'm all set with that one, Chairman. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Councilman. Before I ask, Chief, how much was the hoses that we received last year and then this year? What was the total, if you remember, total amount of grant money that your department wrote in just replacing that one very important...
Well, that, uh, that, that grant was, I believe, the 2018 federal grant, and it included all the hose, all the nozzles, and all the water appliances, and then a small amount of training for officers, and it was a $1.2 million grant.
$1.2 million, and that includes the one we just received as well?
The one we just received?
Yes.
Nope, that was another $900,000, and then... Right. That was just, yeah. That was...
So over $2 million worth of grants on the equipment that we need.
Yep, the radios was the one that I came to the last council meeting for. It was about $850,000, almost $900,000.
That's outstanding. Thank you. Any other questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Question, comments from members of the public? Thank you. The next item up for discussion is requested by Councilman Lattiser. It's bid 2023-218, structural firefighting helmets. This is found on page 81. Chief, quickly, before us, Councilman Lattiser begins, just identify again, please.
Jason Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Chief, could you repeat that, please? No, I'm only kidding.
Thanks.
Chief, on page 84 in our binder here on the position paper, you state that replacement of protective gear that does not meet inspection / testing standards. Who does that testing and inspection?
We have members of the department that are trained, and specifically our division of training. They are also responsible for health and safety. Every year they do a thorough inspection of everybody's gear in the department. They come in, they go through all their gear, following the NFPA standard, and make sure that it qualifies as the testing standard. And if they find a helmet that has a crack in it or a damage or, you know, heat damage to it, they have to take it out of service and replace it.
So in order to do that inspection, is it fair to assume that they have an itemized checklist that they have to go through to check this, check that, check this, check that?
I believe they do. I believe they follow the NFPA standard. I believe that standard has a checklist of things that they're supposed to visually inspect. Yes.
Okay. It also says further on that has met the maximum service life of 10 years. So is there a date stamped in these helmets when you receive them?
Yep, they're required to have all turnout gear for the fire service is required to have a manufactured date on them. Yes.
Perfect. The last thing I would just bring, well, not to your attention, you're already aware of it, because apparently there was some confusion or something or other that took place when the bid first went out and it had to go back out for bid.
That's correct.
Is there a process for someone to review these bids before they go out?
We put the bid together. We submit that bid to the purchasing division. They go through the bid, make sure that it qualifies for all their requirements, and then the bid goes out to the public. Sometimes either an error on the department's part that purchasing does not catch, or a typographical error on purchasing's part. Sometimes it happens. It gets noticed during the period where the bid's open, and then we'll notify people that, you know, it's going to be rebid.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief. Chairman, that answered my questions on that one. Thank you for those clarifications too on those inspections, Chief. That was something I was interested in. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions, comments from the members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Next, requested by Councilman Lattiser, is bid 2023-266 Alpha, which is inclusive of bid 2023-226 Bravo. It is large diameter clamp, saddle, and couplings. This is found on page 121, and Bravo, 2023-226 Bravo is found on page 129. Please identify your name, title, and department, and then we'll go to Councilman Lattiser.
Terry DiPetrello, Water Division Chief.
Thank you. Councilman.
Thank you. Terry, as I'm sure you know, this is late coming to us.
I apologize, Councilman. The EPA periodically sends out new rules, which we have to dive into right away. And the newest one is the lead and copper rule, which was a tremendous lot of work. Again, my apology that it's late.
So this went out for bid, right?
That's correct.
I don't understand what you're just referring to when you're talking about EPA.
The reason why this one was late is we worked on another project, and when we deal with the EPA, we have certain timelines, so it was quite took a lot of time. That's why this was late. The EPA rule that we're working on has nothing to do with this bid.
Okay. When did those bids go out?
I don't have the date. I don't have that answer right now.
Do you have a guess?
I believe it was end of October.
Okay.
Middle of October.
Okay, I'm all set with that one, Chairman. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public on bid 2023-226 Alpha. Thank you. The next item is bid 2023-262 Music Performance License. This is found on page 131. Good evening, Director. Please identify yourself before I turn over.
I'm Beverly Wiley. I'm the Director of Parks and Recreation.
Thank you so much. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. So this one is really interesting. And what's interesting is what it says here and the fact that we're being asked to approve to pay an invoice that goes back almost a year and a half. Supposedly, this invoice dates back to July 1st, 2021. I believe that was even before your time, right?
No. Director? I was here.
Okay. This is not the first time that something as bizarre as this has occurred, where we get a bill, it's like a year or more down the road, and some vendor also all of a sudden decides that, well, guess what? You're past due. And in here, it says that the invoice was mailed to the wrong address. But yet, when we look at the invoice that we received from Music Performance License, we have an invoice that says it was sent to the City of Warwick, Thayer Arena offices, 925 Sandy Lane, Warwick, Rhode Island. It also says that the last payment received from the city was on January 28th, 2021. So this vendor got a payment from the city. And obviously, it was received by us at 925 Sandy Lane, and we paid the bill. Now this vendor is alleging that they sent us a bill, and we didn't pay it. Now, to the credit of the department and whoever else is involved with this, the city has refused to pay the late fee of $170.84. But the vendor refuses the request of the city to submit an itemized invoice for some $2,000+. And I find that unacceptable, that this vendor is refusing to provide the city with an itemized list or invoice detail for something that is almost a year and a half old and is just expecting us to roll over, rubber stamp, and pay the bill without giving us any accountability. For me, I think that is totally unacceptable. Now, has anything changed, Director? Have they provided you with, or anyone, with an itemized list documenting what they charged or what they did to tell us that we owe them $2,454.50 from a year and a half ago?
They bill us three times. They bill us three times a year. They bill from the invoices. What happened was I asked them to send us, if they could send us separate invoices. What they did is they sent us an invoice, a total with all three on there. The first invoice was for $785.50, and then the next invoice was $834.50, and then the next one was $834.50. And what happened was in 2021, when they were being paid, we had a recreation clerk that took care of all of the billing. And at that point, some of Parks and Recreation and some of the Public Works were combined, so some of the bills went to the wrong place. I did not see this bill until late July this year. Our address is 885 Sandy Lane. The Department Parks and Recreation office is 885 Sandy Lane. This was sent to
925
Sandy Lane. And I'm not, I don't know what happened. We've had this issue in the past where sometimes the mail gets sent to the wrong place. When we got a call from them in late July, and then they, you know, I said, well, I haven't received a bill. Well, we've been sending them, and then they sent this. And so I tried to work with them and ask them if they could at least send us separate invoices, and they wouldn't separate the invoices. They said, well, you can pay each invoice separately. I said, I need to have each invoice separate so that I can submit it for a PO. And, you know, we went back and forth and back and forth. I talked to several different people at the company, and then finally talked to someone who they agreed that if we would pay it in full, they would waive the late fees.
But yet they refuse to provide you with an itemized list of invoices that, as the person who's paying the bills, you're more than entitled to, especially after this is a year and 4 months or 5 months down the road, and they just decide that, oh, wait a minute, you know what? All of a sudden, the city of Warwick didn't pay us. It doesn't take a CPA to know that when you send out a bill, it shouldn't take a year and 4 months to pay it. This is like really bizarre to me. And then to make it matters worse, they refuse to provide you with what you're asking for, which I think is very, very reasonable. By the way, I think it's very responsible on your end to be requesting that, if not demanding that. And for them to refuse to provide it, tell you what, I'm not voting for this. I think that is outrageous. Chairman, I would like to have a PCR number on this, please. There's no way I'm going to put a stamp on this thing when they're refusing the director's request for something that is very reasonable to do. So my suggestion would be to slap a PCR on this thing and hold it until such time as they honor the director's request. We need accountability from these vendors. They can't just be sending us bills whenever they want, for whatever they want, and take a year and 4 months later and say, oh, by the way, you haven't paid the bill.
The invoices are listed individually on this bill. I do have the invoice numbers for the three bills that they sent. They just wouldn't send me individual invoices for each one so that I could pay the $856, because I could have done that. But because it totaled over $1,000, the total bill, that's why I had to come before you.
Well, I think that you are very correct in asking for that itemization. If one of my vendors send me a bill 16 months later or 17 months later and expect me to pay it without having a breakdown of what it is, good luck to them. They won't get paid.
You're requesting the PCR, correct?
Please.
Thank you. So, bid 2023-262, music performance licenses, per request to Councilman Lattiser, is now PCR 139-22. You're welcome. Is there any further discussion from now that it's a PCR, members of this committee?
And thank you, Director, for your due diligence on that, too.
Thank you, Director. Councilman Riggs.
Just to get a general sense and clarify a little bit, it looks like the three invoices here, they each, according to the documentation I'm seeing on page 134, they're each covering a six-month period. What exactly were the services or licensing that we were paying for?
We have to pay for all of our concerts. Then when we do the outdoor concerts, we're required to have music license so that these musicians can sing, play the songs of the popular songs from movies, TVs. It's a requirement. And we have there's three different licenses that we get. This is one of three.
That makes sense. So it's just kind of some sort of arrangement through this company where it's basically a flat fee and it covers us as to, you know, however many cover songs are being performed that fall into whichever category?
Yes.
Yeah, that all makes sense to me. Under the circumstances and given your explanation, given the history on all of this too, I can understand how this could have slipped through the cracks for a bit, especially dealing with a company that is sounded like they were less than fully cooperative. So thank you again for your diligence, and I think that I will be voting to approve this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. And just so that everyone's caught up, the bid was 2023-262. What the director stated, and feel free to correct me, Director, if I'm wrong, is that there were three different invoices. What the company did was send the three invoices of all three amounts. All three amounts were under $1,000, which therefore would not require council approval.
Yes.
But because they sent the three different dated items in one invoice, it exceeded the $1,000 limit. Therefore, you now must come to the council and seek approval. And yes, from that discussion, Councilman Lattiser requested a PCR, and that's where we are now. Are there any further? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. So, Director, with all this conversation going back and forth, did you or did you not get the breakdown of the invoices that you requested?
I didn't get them separately. I got them on one, I got them all together. I did not get them separately.
So what would be the difference between?
Because if I were to try to pay one of these, it's all on one sheet of paper. I couldn't do I couldn't do it because it's all on one sheet of paper.
Okay.
I asked them if they could send them to me separately, then I could have issued a PO and paid them. But because of the process that we have here, I have a bill for over $1,000 and so I had to come before you. So it's not that I didn't have them, it's just that I don't have them separately. I have them all on one sheet of paper.
But you got the documentation you needed. It just wasn't in the format that you had requested.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. I understand. I can withdraw the PCR 139. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. It's fine to say with... I'm sorry? Okay. Are there any further comments from members of the council concerning bid 2023-262? And before I call for the public, please understand this is back to a bid. PCR request was withdrawn by Councilman Lattiser. Are there any further questions from members of the public for bid 2023-262? Thank you. May I have a motion for the consent calendar?
Favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes on November 2nd?
I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 115-22, formerly bid 2023-138, Clegg Field Site Improvements and Playground. Please identify name, title, and department. Thank you.
Bill Facenti, Manager, Office of Housing and Community Development. I'm here today to ask for approval of bid 2023-138. I didn't catch the PCR, I'm sorry. For Clegg Field, the amount of $613,300. We received, went out to bid. There was a typo in the award memo. We went out to bid on August 16th of 2022. We had a mandatory pre-bid on August 30th, 2022, and a bid opening on September 13th of 2022. Five individual companies representing four bidding firms attended the August 30th pre-bid. Three of the four firms that attended submitted bids. Bids ranged in price from a low of $613,300 to a high of $807,000. We reviewed the bids at the October 3rd council meeting. I asked to hold this because we did not have sufficient funds to cover the cost. They were considerably higher than we thought. Mayor Picozzi and the finance department and some of the other departments worked together to free up some of the city's opera funds. And I'm here tonight to ask that we award the contract again to Lucina Brothers of Woonsocket as the lowest responsible bidder, $613,300. Of that, $600,000 is coming from opera funds, $13,300 is coming from CDBG. So there are no city funds in this project.
Thank you so much, Bill. I would like the council person associated with Clegg Field, if they'd like to speak first. All set? Thank you. I know that he's interested in this getting done. So any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public on Clegg Field? Thank you. Hearing none, may I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion for favorable. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. The time is now 6:31. The Finance Committee is closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for an update of where we are, we have just finished the Finance Committee. Up next is going to be the Ordinance Committee. At 7 p.m., we will pause committees, and we will move into the full council meeting. At that time, we will have some special guests from the Warwick Neck Elementary School, and then we will immediately go into the four different public hearings. So we will start those after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're starting the Ordinance Committee, and then at 7 o'clock, we will pause. We will open the City Council meeting. We will have a presentation from the Warwick Neck Elementary School, and then we will immediately go into the public hearing portions of the council meeting. Thank you. Ordinance Committee can meet at this time.
Ordinance Committee will convene at 6:33 p.m. First thing on the agenda is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on October 17th, 2022.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on November 2nd, 2022.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is PCO 10-21, an ordinance amending chapters 40 and 42 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Warwick to authorize the impoundment and destruction of unregistered off-road recreational vehicles that are used unlawfully on public roads. This would be second passage. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments? Do any members of the council have any questions or comments? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next is PCO 11-21, sub A, an ordinance prohibiting the sale of gasoline products to unregistered off-road recreational vehicles and snowmobiles. This is second passage. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments? Do any members of the council have any questions or comments? Councilman Gephardt?
So when we talked about this one last time, I had expressed some concern about the owner operator of the gas station becoming the policing force for these off-road vehicles. I remain hesitant to support that particular part of it. So just wondering if the committee had any differing thoughts on how to move forward and how to proceed. Otherwise, as it stands, I don't think I would support this particular part of the enforcement strategy. I think the first part that you just move favorable action, I do support, but this one sort of seems to put the owner-operator of the gas station into a somewhat uncomfortable position where they need to be the arbiter of what is a registered vehicle versus a not registered vehicle. We did talk about the that they already have some of this responsibility in that they only can authorize filling up, you know, an approved vessel with gasoline. You can't go with a 2-liter milk jug. But I think given the nature of the off-road vehicles and sort of how they operate, and that some could be registered and some not, it just makes for a challenging determination to be made, you know, by the owner or one of their staff people. So I still, like I said, not fully in support of this one, but open to any clarification. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
I respect the concerns that Councilman Gebhardt has raised. I would aver that any alleged violation would be something that would first be prosecuted by the police, effectively the executive branch, and then as to any fine, that's something that would effectively be determined by the municipal court judge. So I think that there are some checks and balances here. There's a leeway where if there's a first offense, then the judge is under no obligation to give a minimum amount of a fine. Instead, the judge can take a look at the circumstances and hear out the owner, understand the circumstances. So I would say that if we as the legislative branch in drafting this ordinance were not giving any real enforcement power to the executive and the judicial, then we're really tying their hands, and we really can't expect for the ordinance to effectively be enforced. But if we give them some discretion here, and I think that this sub A gives the appropriate amount of discretion, it's something that I'm comfortable with. And I certainly respect that different people can come to different conclusions. My thinking is that this is something that a reasonable gas station owner, reasonable employees with a reasonable amount of training should be able to quickly identify whether a vehicle that's pulling on up to the station is something that has a license plate or not, something that, that looks like a sedan, that's a coupe. That over there, that pulling up on the two wheels or four wheels, much smaller, no license plate, going to take a minute to check that one out before activating the pump. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That concludes Ordinance Committee at 6:40 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next is Public Properties, and that committee can convene at this time. And again, for the people that are just arriving now, we will have the public hearings at the start of the council meeting at 7 p.m. We're in committees right now. This committee is just going to recommend that we go to public hearings after 7 p.m.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:41 p.m. First up, acceptance of the minutes dated October 17, 2022. Do we have a motion? Move favorable
action on the minutes. Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, first item on the agenda is the opening and announcement of bids opening and announcement of bids received for RFP 2023-215, sale of a former school administration property at 34 Warwick Lake Ave and former Holden Elementary School at 61 Hoxie Ave. No votes will be taken. Let's see. We're here with our new, forgive me, I want to get the title right, our new purchasing director. Thank you. And let's see, we have the bids for each one. So let's begin with... are these both part of the same bid, RFP 2023-215? All right. We'll proceed with the public opening of the bids. And how many bids are there total?
There are three bids.
I don't know. The lights are on.
All right. There are three bids. Here we go. If you could hand me the...
Yeah, we need to hear.
Right. Good evening. My name is Frances Gomez, purchasing director for the City of Warwick, replacing former PA Patricia Peshka. We're here for the opening of the following bid. Bid number 2023-215, sale of former school administration property at 34 Warwick Lake Ave and former Holden Elementary School at 61 Hoxie Ave. There are three bids. First vendor, Link Commercial Properties, LLC. Pricing for 34 Warwick Lake Avenue, $300,000. Pricing for 61 Hoxie Avenue, $1,400,000. And the deposit was submitted.
Confirmed, the first bid is from Link Commercial Properties, LLC, in those amounts of $300,000 for 34 Warwick Lake Ave and $1,400,000 for 61 Hoxie Ave.
Vendor name, Rhode Island Custom Builders. Pricing for 34 Warwick Lake Ave, $289,000. Pricing for 61 Hoxie Ave, $1,112,222, and the deposit was received.
Confirmed. This is the bid of Rhode Island Custom Builders, LLC. And the bids were in those amounts of $289,000 to 34 Warwick Lake Ave and $1,112,222 as to 61 Hoxie Ave. Thank you.
Vendor 420 Corp. Pricing for 34 Warwick Lake Avenue, $320,000. Pricing for 61 Hoxie Ave, $824,000. Deposit has been received.
Confirmed. Bidder 420 Corp. That is the numbers is spelled out, not as the numbers, but as the words. Bid amounts of $320,000 for 34 Warwick Lake Ave and $824,000 as to 61 Hoxie Ave. Thank you. That is all three bids.
These bids were properly advertised, and the recommendation for their approval will be announced at the next council meeting on December 5th. Once a bid is approved, we will immediately submit refunds for non-awarded vendors. Thank you.
Thank you. There were three envelopes. Three bids in front of us relative to RFP 2023-215. This concludes the opening of those bids. And pursuant to our City Council and committee procedures with the opening and announcement of bids, there is no vote, there is no discussion at this time. And as announced by our new director, there will be a recommendation as to these bids and bidders at a future time. Moving on to PCO 24-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, 203 Centerville Road, LLC. I believe that may be a typo. It should be 203 Centerville Road, LLC, and Centerville Associates, petitioners, assessor's plat, 246, lots 246, 247, 250, 251, 254, 257, 258, Caleb Street, and 171, 181, 203, and 221 Centerville Road. This is in Ward 8, Councilman Snappy. Oh, pardon me. Yes, this is a request public hearing. Okay, do we have a motion for at the time of the full city council meeting convening after 7 o'clock?
I make a motion for public hearing.
We have a motion for public hearing. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Third on the agenda, we have PCO 2522, order on the abandonment of a portion of Clark Street, Kevin Murphy petitioner. I believe that this is also a public hearing. This is Ward 3. Councilman Howe, do we have a request for a public hearing? I hear a request. I hear a second. All in favor? Oh,
I move open the public hearing.
Oh,
I second it.
Well, very good. Okay, we have the request. We have the motion and the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, fourth up, we have PCO 26-2022, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Kevin Murphy and New England Institute of Technology petitioners, Assessor's Plat 344, lots 101 and 493, and a portion of Clark Street, 68 Green Street, 2562 Post Road, and a portion of Clark Street. I think some of that is a little bit duplicative, but better to make sure it's in there. Councilman Howe, do we have a request?
Move public hearing.
All right, we have the
hold public hearing.
Second.
We have the request, motion, and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Fifth, we have PCO 4-22, an ordinance amending Appendix A, Zoning Ordinance of the City of Warwick to define, establish, and classify districts, create administrative procedures for short-term rental use of residential dwelling units, and provide supplementary regulations for the short-term rental dwelling units, City of Warwick petitioner. This is Councilman Lattiser as the first sponsor. Do we have a recommendation?
Thank you, Chairman. Move favorable action to open the public hearing.
All right.
Second.
We have a request, motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Sixth and last on the agenda, we have PCO 20-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Premier Land Development petitioner, Assessor's Plat 322, lots 167, 168, 169, 182, and 183. The address, 1795 Post Road. This one is Councilman Howe, and this one would be not for a public hearing, but for second passage. Do we have a request?
More favorable action on second passage.
Do we have a do we have any comments from members of the committee? Any comments from members of the council? Any comments, questions, or discussion from members of the public? This is for second passage. Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I make a motion for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That concludes the City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs, the various items that are coming up for a public hearing will be held after the full City Council convenes after 7 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to repeat what the Chairman said, that we will start the full City Council meeting at 7 o'clock. We are going to have the salute to the flag, the national anthem. We're going to have a special presentation to the Warwick Neck Elementary
PTA, and then we are going to move into these public hearings. We also have public comments this evening. There's a sign-up sheet on the podium. We're going to have the public hearings first, because I know the majority of the people here are here for one of those four public hearings, and then we will also have public comments that are available if you'd like to sign up. You can speak on any topic that affecting the city of Warwick in the public comment. That will be after the four public hearings, which will start after 7 o'clock. So we will see everybody in approximately 5 minutes.